pay close heed to my every word.
I'm only happy when it rains. I'm only happy when it's complicated. And though I know you can't appreciate it, I'm only happy when it rains.
You're listening to Leak Podcast, episode 366. I'm Matt Durson.
Clay Inferno.
All right, well, here we are, two white guys going to be talking about Captain Marvel.
Fine That's distinction. Okay. I don't really... Marvel Studios Captain Marvel.
Marvel, you know,
not to be confused. I think it's the funniest thing that there's a Shazam movie coming out, and like I only crack myself up by saying Captain Marvel movie, Captain Marvel, Captain Marvel.
Well, there was a joke. Was it in the Shazam? We saw a Shazam trailer before Captain Marvel, and I think they made a joke about that, right? Isn't there a joke
somewhere? Oh, you did? I didn't see one there.
Oh, we saw a Shazam trailer, there's a joke in there about, like, I think somewhere, but I have a funny, we'll get to Captain Marvel, sorry, in a minute.
Shazam, let's talk Shazam first. Get the Shazam out of the way.
I just want to make a statement about that. And it's more so. It looks like a funny movie. It looks funny. You know what I mean? Like it's
like Big.
Yeah, it's kind of like Big with a superhero, right? I mean, it's
yeah, looks weird. Looks big and dumb and fun.
Yeah, exactly. It's dumb and fun, but it was. I laughed. I was watching the trailer and I chuckled, and they kind of like it's fun. It is. It's like Big. But, like, it's just so, like, to me, it's like DC is like, oh, well, maybe we can make a fun movie. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, they've made however many movies, like, in the DC extended universe, they've made, like, six movies, whatever it is. I don't know how many movies. And they're finally like, oh, maybe we can make one that's not so dark and gloomy and shitty.
Like, you know? I don't know if it's, like, a direct... I think it was like on the slate for a while, like even the Black Adam movie starring The Rock, which is a Shazam related sort of character. It would probably be like Shazam 2, really. But like that one, you know, these were all announced like 1,000 years ago, like before Justice League and before Batman vs. Superman came out. But yeah, I mean, you know, they're shifting the tone a bit. I like it. I mean, Aquaman was big, dumb, fun action. This one seems like the big, dumb, fun comedy, which is I will back 100%.
No, I mean, and good for them. It just seems like what took you so long? It's really my thing. Exactly. You know, it's almost like sad in a way. Like, I'm just like, oh, man.
Oh, it definitely is a lot of sad and wasted effort. And it's almost like it almost does have a tinge of like how Marvel movies are fun.
Right, you know, exactly. So and now they're trying to be like them, those movies, and it's like, they should have just done this from the beginning.
Yeah, because you could even have like a Superman movie.
Superman.
That's more like Superman the Animated Series, that's just like kind of like or positive maybe, and bright.
Yeah, or kind of like the new Bendis run, you know, from what I read, it's a little lighter, you know what I mean? Like it's... You don't have to make it so dark and just gray and everything. You just be sad all the time. I don't know. It's just whatever. But it seems like now it's such a shift in tone. If they wanted to somehow put Shazam in, it wouldn't really fit in with the other characters.
I do know this. That's what they're saying now. They're giving up on the extended universe. This being like the Marvel Cinematic Universe at all. They're just like, we're just going to make movies.
And all right.
Whether they interact with each other or not is like not our priority. We fucked it up. So we're just going to make movies. That's why we're going to get a Joker movie, the Joaquin Phoenix one. And that's why we're going to get the Batman movie. And that's why the Batman.
There's another, the James Gunn Suicide Squad is getting like, that's a thing. So.
Yeah, and that's supposed to be like a new team. Like Idris Elba is taking over Will Smith's
role
as Deadshot.
Totally good because, I mean, Will Smith was totally just cashing a check in that movie. He had no desire to be there.
Oh, and I finally saw I saw the trailer last night when you were telling me about Hobbs and Shaw, because I'm not like a big Fast and Furious guy, but I did. That seems like fun.
It's gonna be fun, right?
Because it started out, the trailer was just Idris Elba, and I was like, "Whoa, look at this! Like, this is badass! Like, what is going on here?" And
well, he's been in the Fast and Furious movies as a bad guy before.
Oh yes. Oh
yeah.
Cool.
Because Rachel really likes she likes the last half. Like 1 through 4 doesn't even matter. You don't even have to watch them. In fact, she's like, I've never seen 4, but whatever. But apparently 5 through 8 are directed by Justin Lin. So there's like a thread because he directs all of them. So
yeah,
it's actually almost its own cinematic universe. You know what I mean? Like
now
we have this spinoff presents with the same bad guy. It's really kind of interesting, but yeah, it's funny. There are the storylines and what's his name? Jason Statham was like a bad guy and his brother. Yeah. But I mean, they don't make a lot of sense. Still, there are still characters that just inexplicably die and come back and whatever. And Paul Walker, who's dead in real life, they kind of made it seem like he just was like riding off into the sunset to be with his family. But then they named a kid after him as if it was like some kind of tribute to a guy who's not actually dead. It's just, you know what I mean? Like, it's just ridiculous.
It's almost like, you can't think too much about it. Like if they make a Justice League 2 movie, you know, I don't think that they would, but there's a new Batman in it. It's just like, just don't think too much about it.
No, just he's Batman. It's fine.
Batman is fine. He's Deadshot. It's fine. Who cares?
Yeah, I don't know. All right, but let's talk about a cinematic universe that does make more sense. And let's talk about Captain Marvel.
Okay, yeah, I need to hear, because you have been more excited about this movie, I think. I'm putting words in your mouth, so please correct me if I'm wrong.
No,
More excited about this movie than any movie in the recent past, in the past 5 years, I'd say.
Sure. I guess we could say that. I mean, I was pretty excited. I also had a very nervous, like, because I was like, what if it stinks? Yeah.
And you've been doing, we should send people to your website, because you've been doing like blogging leading up to it too.
I've got the Brie Larson project going on mattdurson.com. So just if you want to head over there, I've just basically been talking about her movies, but not in a way where it's like, I'm trying not to gush too much.
Right. But, well, you had some criticisms about Room.
It was criticism. It was sort of how I thought of it when I first saw it. And then sort of how it, you know, how I thought of it after. I was like, yeah.
Okay. As a writer, you kind of had some thoughts about how.
I always have those. As someone who.
But those are great, man. I love it when you do those. They're awesome. Right. I always read them.
Oh, very good. I wanted to do more leading up to Captain Marvel, but it's okay. I talked about her bigger movies and everything. Not all of them are good. Like, Spectacular Now is a terrible, terrible movie. But you can read my comments on it over at mattdurson.com. But let's talk about Brie Larson's latest movie. And yes, I was looking forward to it.
And was it, do you give it like fucking 5 stars and 2 thumbs up? And was it everything you expected it to be?
It was pretty much everything I expected. I have to say, it wasn't the best. Like, if you want to put it in the Marvel pantheon of movies, it was sort of more like an Ant-Man or a Doctor Strange kind of level. Not like Captain America Civil War or whatever, which, you know.
Right. I agree with you there.
Yeah. And it was a fun, it's a fun Marvel movie, I think. You know what I mean? So I will. Okay. There were no huge surprises, right? Like, there were no giant twists. There was nothing really like, oh my God, like, this is like how that happened. Some of the 90s jokes did fall a little flat. I admit, after a while, like, you're just like, all right, we get it. It's the 90s. It's old. But for the most part,
some of them were really funny. Like,
some of them were really funny. Yeah, absolutely.
I thought that was hilarious. Yeah, and they just cut to everybody like going like, ugh, what's it doing?
I know. It's funny. No, there were some of them that were funny. The soundtrack was mostly pretty great. No Doubt was a little on the nose when they played the No Doubt song.
Yes.
you know, I'm just a girl. You know,
but that really was a huge fucking song in the 90s. Like, that was, everybody loved that song.
I heard it on the radio a lot back when I listened to the radio.
Right.
But I don't know. I'll get to some other thing. What did you think of it?
I thought it was good. I thought it was not great, but I was kind of expecting to be, this is going to sound really backhanded, I was expecting to be more disappointed than I was. So, like, it's...
So you weren't disappointed.
I wasn't disappointed. I didn't like some parts of it. And I thought that it was a really... Actually, when I was thinking about it, it's a really different movie than all the other Marvel movies, even though it is, you know, in the formula. So the things I thought were really awesome about it, and there were things that I thought were, like, not that great about it. There were things that I was trying to, like, pull, you know, I was trying to, like, think of it in, like, a comic book historian kind of sense. So I was trying to think of, like, archetypes of different, you know, superheroes, from, like, Superman to Green Lantern and Supergirl, and, like, stuff that I know, like, have, like, more context for, because I really don't think that Captain Marvel, to me, really is an important comic book character. Like, I don't have any real connection to her. So I was, like, a little disconnected from her in that way, but it was good. I thought the first half hour was, like, kind of a mess, and then the rest of the movie was good.
Oh, I mean, I thought the first half hour was fine. The middle third, I thought, sort of just was dragged a little, dragged a lot. a lot of movies do sort of tend to get weak in the middle part, I feel like. And not, you know, it was just a lot of, like, okay, let's go to Project Pegasus. Let's go to what's-her-name's house. Let's go here. And they're just kind of, like, flying around, and nothing is really happening. And that part of that,
I liked that stuff more than I liked when she was on the Halal or whatever, the
right, the
Kree planet, yeah, and the Jude Law stuff. Like, and
all right, well,
I just thought it was, it just seemed really like not a good way to start things off.
Well, they're trying to establish, like, who all these people are, but at the same time, and I guess they did a good job at this, because I guess I didn't really think that much about it, because, spoiler warning, if you have not seen this movie,
obviously. Yeah, this is going to be a spoiler review, because we need to talk about all the stuff.
So, spoiler warning, the Skrulls are not the bad guys.
Right.
So, and I think even in all the promotional materials, they kind of hinted at that, and they wanted you to think that.
And in the MCU, isn't, like, Super Skrull a good guy? There's, like, a Super Skrull, and isn't he, like, kind of an ally?
I don't know. We've never seen a Skrull in the MCU. No, when you say the MCU, you mean the comic
books. I'm sorry. What I sort of meant was the 616. Like, in the Marvel universe, when they had Secret Invasion, wasn't there kind of a good guy? I can't remember if Super Skrull is a good guy or a bad guy.
I mean, he was a bad guy originally. I don't really know. He probably is flopped back and forth like a lot of them do. But, I mean, I think in the idea, too, because Ben Mendelsohn always plays a bad guy. Like, in Rogue One, he was the bad guy. And in Batman, Dark Knight Rises, he was like the scumbag.
I know,
he's always
watched, like,
scumbag.
A Looper video or, like, a Vulture video about Ben Mendelsohn. They didn't even mention him being in Batman.
I mean, he's in Batman. They should have mentioned. He's always the scumbag. So I think when they're like, oh, Ben Mendelsohn plays the Skrull, you assume that they're the bad guys. And I actually assumed that this was going to turn into like a Secret Invasion next phase of the Marvel Cinematic Universe kind of thing.
Right.
Because like, oh, we got Skrulls now and they're going to like invade the Earth by taking over certain people. But the Skrulls are not the bad guys in this movie.
They are not. So, and no. I liked how Ben Mendelsohn's character, his Skrull character, he had like kind of an assistant, his science guy.
Yeah, you're the science guy.
kind of giving him shit. So, yeah. It's like,
he was actually kind of funny, which is, you know, it's good. I mean, cause not only was he not bad, but he was actually kind of funny. Like, he was, when he's like, why, you know, like, yeah, your guy is out there, like, you know, like menacing a child. He's like, okay, I'll give you that.
Yeah.
But so anyways, all right, let's, yeah. So the deal is they have to kind of go through a lot of, they have to go through these steps to make you think the Skrulls are bad and the Kree are good when, you know, it's the opposite. So like, I don't know if that affected the storytelling in the beginning part, like you were talking about, because they have to kind of make it seem like, and I guess, like I said, they did a good job because I didn't really guess it at the beginning, but like,
I knew you could tell that Jude Law was going to be the bad guy from the first second he's on the screen, in my opinion.
All right.
I didn't think that the Kree were going to be good at all, even from like the marketing and the trailers. Right. And stuff, well, it seemed like, yeah, he was the bad guy.
From the trailers, it seemed to me that Captain Marvel was going to kind of fight both sides.
Yeah.
That was the image I got, because there was a line in the trailer, which I don't even think was in the movie, where she said, I'm not here to fight your war, I'm here to end it. And I don't think that was even in the movie. So I thought she was going to go against both sides. They just show her blowing up ships.
I think that's from the end of the movie, or something similar happens at the end of the movie when before she goes out for her adventure.
Yeah. So, you know, whatever. I mean, like you said, it wasn't like unbelievably, it wasn't great. I thought the action parts were good. And here's another thing that I want to say that I really enjoyed, because, you know, I pick apart movies, you know, occasionally. Yes. I thought this movie was paced really well, because like a lot of times they drag out. This was a good 2 hours,
yes,
2:10 or something like that, somewhere in that. And, you know, I've said it about a lot of Marvel movies and just movies in general. Like, oh, God, they really just like, oh, the end, or they just hammered. Oh, my God. This had kind of like the Solo ending. You know, remember the ending of Solo where Han Solo just shoots Woody Harrelson? This is kind of like that. You think she's going to have a big fight with Jude Law, and then she just shoots him.
Yeah, that was funny. With
laser
hands. That was good stuff.
So that's I think that's great, because it also played into the theme of the movie, which was that like Jude Law was always sort of neutering her in a way, like not allowing her to use her powers, saying like, no, it makes you weak. You need to fight with your head and blah, blah, blah. And like, you know, fist fighting and all that stuff. But
and it didn't take
she doesn't need to do that.
It didn't take me a second to realize it, but I was glad that they, you know, let's just say like for kids or something, like I was glad that they had that scene where Jude Law is walking into the barn and he sees Captain Marvel in there, and it wasn't like one of those immediate things where I was like, oh, that's a Skrull,
right?
The science guy there, but it was like that was like a fun little puzzle, like for that, like for a kid to be like, oh
yeah,
that was like really cool there. Like I did kind of realize it after he'd first gotten in there and they started talking, I was like, oh, that's gotta be the Skrull, but it didn't immediately switch on, which I thought was cool.
No, it's good. Yeah, I mean, we've seen so much, and this is almost to the, it's hard for Marvel and for anybody, I suppose, but especially like in Marvel movies, if you've seen all the movies, you start to, you know, you know, there's certain story beats that seem to come up a lot, and it must be hard to still surprise people. And like I said, this one, there wasn't any M. Night Shyamalan like twist.
Oh, and he killed that guy. He killed the science.
Yeah, and he killed the science guy. So that was kind of like okay. So Jude Law is not fucking around.
But, and they were like saying that he was, or they maybe like just even IMDb casting saying that he was Captain Marvel,
right?
Like a long time ago, not like recently.
Yeah, that was like sort of fan theory stuff.
Yeah,
but they had revealed that he was whatever his name is, Man-Rog or whatever his stupid Kree name is.
Yeah, right.
But I mean, also, so there was also a scene because Ronan makes an appearance, and Ronan is, of course, the bad guy from Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, and I like Lee Pace. He's cool.
Yeah.
I love that.
And it was like a younger Ronin, which is cool. They actually made him look younger. But there's a scene where he's talking about just bombing the place, and Jude Law is like, no, they're kind of arguing. So it makes you think like Jude Law is still on the good side, even though like he's sort of teaming with – he and Ronan are on the same side, but they're not like buddies. You know what I mean? But it's – so I think that was a good little twist where they didn't – you know, like they make it seem like, sure, there are elements in the Kree Empire that are bad, but these guys are still good.
Right.
But no, it's they're all
and
bad.
Then there was that other guy that's been – I couldn't figure out if he was in – and I did. I just watched that video last night, and it told me I couldn't figure out if he was from Thor or if he was from Guardians. The other guy.
I don't even know how to pronounce his name. It's
but Chimon, he was in. Yeah, but he goes back to Marvel stuff too.
He was in Guardians. He was the guy when he said he was Star-Lord. He said who?
Right. Yeah. And that's like, cool
come
because
on, man, Star-Lord.
That's totally, it didn't seem like it was trying to tie into that or anything. It was just like, that was like real like Marvel Comics stuff. Like, I'm bringing this character back. This character's doing this here.
It's a fun little thing because like, this movie takes place obviously way before. We can have these characters, you know. It's neat. I do want to say that, regardless of our opinions, this movie has raked in the money, despite all the lousy reviews, which I want to get to in a minute. We'll get to that in a minute.
Well, but I was psyched to see it opening weekend and chip into that.
Chip in. I mean, $153 million U.S., but worldwide,
saw something like seventh ranked Marvel opening weekend or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, didn't beat Black Panther. Black Panther killed. But as far as like a non-sequel first outing, I mean, it's second to that. But I mean, like Civil War and Infinity War and Age of Ultron all made more money. But I mean, like this is worldwide, they're like thinking $455 million all said and done. That's pretty insane.
It's great.
Yeah. And I mean, like, as far as just like for the fifth biggest female-led debut weekend of all time, behind only Hunger Games.
Female-led, like.
Well, female, like Hunger Games.
Sci-fi, they, female adventure, whatever.
I guess. Well, they also put Beauty and the Beast in here, which is not really a. I guess it's female-led. I don't know. It doesn't even matter.
The live-action one?
Yeah, the one that just came out. And I think they even call Force Awakens like a female-led movie.
Okay, I just don't understand how they are coming to that.
They just love to throw this shit out. Who cares? But it's making a lot of money. And so all those people who said, I don't want to see it because Bill Larson hates white men.
I don't even want to talk about those people. Like, who cares? You know? Like,
well, I want to... I do want to say something. I don't mean I don't care. They're obviously idiots.
Well, you say your thing.
I'm going to say my thing. So we talked about the whole Rotten Tomatoes scandal last week, and probably the last couple weeks, I think. So then Rotten Tomatoes changed their whole method of how they don't let people rate movies before they see them anymore. Like, you can't rate a movie as bad, like 2 stars smelly, before it comes out.
Right.
So now the audience score is still only 55%, but the critics, it's rated fresh 79%, which is like 1% above Green Book, which won Best Picture.
Right.
So the audience, the trolls are still kind of out there. I mean, 55% is kind of low. But I'm willing to bet a lot of them are just assholes going online saying that they don't like the movie even though they haven't seen it or they don't want to see it or whatever. So I want to say one other thing, and I'm not going to say this person's name, but it was a person who I'm pretty sure used to work in mainstream comics, and now they're in a Facebook group that I'm also in called Support Indie Comics. So this person said, "What do people think about Captain Marvel?" I'm reading a lot of bad reviews, and I might not see it. So a lot of people answered him, saying, "No, it's good." Some people said, "No, it's trash. Skip it." And I also said, "Don't believe what people are saying. They're just saying that because Brie Larson said she wants more diversity in the film critics industry." Yeah. So then he wrote, "Oh, thanks for your opinions. I probably won't see it anyway. I have a kid. I haven't seen a movie in 4 years." It's like, well, what? Then why did you even buy? He's like, "I just wanted to see what people thought." So my thing is, I think a lot of people.
What a waste of fucking energy.
Why I know. It was really lame. That? I know. I'm a weirdo.
Like, why? I don't understand these people that, you know, there's the whole thing about, like, the people we're critiquing, which are these trolls, but it's like, people are like, "Oh, I'm not going to see it until everyone tells me what they think I should do." Okay.
That's pretty lame.
Like, oh, and that is fucking so stupid.
I know. Like, well, just have you seen the trailer? Like, just decide for yourself if you want to see it. What the hell do you need my opinion for? But my whole point is I think a lot of people who don't know the story, I mean, obviously we know all the stuff because we follow this shit, and especially me because I follow it like very closely. I read like everything about Captain Marvel you could read before it came out. So like I know. But also know
they changed your origin, right? Like
they did that in the comic book too, though. They retconned the origin recently.
But didn't they? Is this still close different to the comic book origin or what they did in the movie?
Close. No, it's not. In the comic book, they just changed this. So, sort of. The Annette Bening character, Mar-Vell, is sort of like, in the comic, it's like her mother.
Which I thought was cool because, you know, she's Superman's mom in Smallville.
Oh, really? Was she? No, that wasn't her, was it? Like, on Krypton? Not
on Martha Krypton. Kent. No. Ma Kent.
Ma Kent? No, that wasn't Annette Bening.
Are you sure?
Yeah. I'm looking it up right now. Smallville cast. No, that's What's-Her-Face. Oh, God, you're getting me.
Annette O'Toole. Damn. They look alike.
Yeah, they both. Well, Annette Bening doesn't have red hair anymore, but she used to. It's kind of white now. Anyway. But, so, whatever. But anyway, so that, in the comic book, her mom was Kree. And that's okay. How she, her mom was like a Kree spy. So, you know, that's how she got the, in there and got the powers and whatever. It wasn't like whatever, they did. The Annette Bening character is kind of like her mom-ish, you know, in a way. It's because she's like her trainer and her mentor and whatever.
Yeah.
But it was cool. I mean, whatever. I thought the origin was fine. Who cares?
Well, I like the fact that it's, it was a mix of a couple different things. When I was talking about like comic history, it's like, it's a little bit Avansor, Green Lantern. It's also a little bit like the Flash, like he's in an accident, you know. Right. And like the ring, you know, getting the finding like the dead alien, and like, "I need to give you this ring. You're going to be the take care of this sector like right now." So it was like a little bit like that. So I thought that was cool, like a little good way to like mash up a couple of different things. And what I thought was cool too, to the total credit of the movie is like someone just sent me a text, I got distracted, is it's a unique origin story. Like she's the only one that can have it because she got, you know, like zapped by the
right. It's not like it's the way it's like the bitten by the radioactive spider
right
thing. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like this is a total thing that just happened because she was there. And
it made her super powerful, which also I appreciated because I've been always like trying to figure out like how powerful is she? Like I think I've asked you like 1,000 times, like is she, How would you compare to Superman? How would she compare to Supergirl? Like, she has this photon blast thing, which is an awesome power. I liked how she, like, took the missiles and then was able to have them, like, 10 missiles blow up, and she just flies right through it, and she's totally unscathed. Like, I thought that was badass.
Yeah, no, she's a total badass. And that's part of the theme, which I did like this part of, like, this theme of the movie where, like, she had been... where she even said in that moment, she says, "I've been fighting with one hand tied behind my back my whole life." So it's like, now I am going out there full bore, like, and she can go binary, which is like what they call it in the comic books, which she gets all fiery and, you know, like her eyes glow and stuff. And, she, you know, she's super powerful. So, like, it's kind of like, yeah, I mean, it's
and not, she doesn't even get like a scratch on her.
Yeah, no, she's like Thor level-ish, I think, or maybe even more powerful. But you know what I mean? It's like she's up
well,
there.
That's always the thing with Thor, is like he's a god. But if you compare, like, I more just compare to like Superman.
Yeah, you know, like, of course, because you can't compare to Superman.
No, I mean, you know, who's more powerful than Superman? Like, no one.
She's up there. Yeah. I don't know, you know, obviously, whatever. But yeah, she's on that level, I think.
She can fly. She can fly into space without, like, oxygen.
Well, she has that little helmet thing that appears when she's
out. But nothing goes over her face part where she...
Yeah, there's a little face part. But that's just, like, that's just Kree technology. I don't know. I mean, I assume she needs to breathe. I don't know. Maybe that was just a cool thing they decided to throw in. Because she does wear that in the comic book sometimes.
I do like that Spartan kind of thing. Yeah. Like her cowl and the mohawk.
It's almost like a Peter Quill kind of thing, I think. You know, he has like that sort of thing that can appear.
Oh, and I also liked how she was mentally... trapped by Jude Law when she was physically trapped in handcuffs, basically, and she was able to use her mind to get out of the physical and mental trap on the spaceship. That was
cool. Yeah.
Yeah, like dream sequence of, like, kind of like Inception-y or something, you know?
Yeah. Well, it was interesting, yeah, because she didn't know anything about her past, but you kind of subconsciously, I think she kind of knew, you know, like, something is not right. Somebody's lying to me, not telling me the truth 100%, and all that stuff. Yeah, so it is pretty, that's what I think was good. So there's a lot of, there were, I don't know, I haven't read any yet, but before the movie came out, there were a lot of Wonder Woman sort of comparisons.
It's not really the same thing.
No, not really. But there are some similarities. You know, she's kind of the fish out of water, and she's, you know, whatever, powerful. But I don't know. This was paced a lot better. That was for sure. Like I said, Wonder Woman's one of those movies that went, that just, like, just kill the guy already.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's kind of like there were a few comparisons. But she wasn't as, like, clueless as Wonder Woman, I get it. Wonder Woman is literally, like, she is not, she had never seen the world, you know.
Yeah, Captain Marvel had been around. They do that in the comics too.
Yeah. Captain Marvel had been around, and she technically was from Earth, and so she might have had residual memories of Earth. But anyways.
Her acting was just like a little bit, I don't know if I expect her to be like Peter Quill or like even the other girls in Guardians or like anything. She seems just a little flat, you know, just flat, just regular, you know.
Well, she's, you know, I thought she was funny, you know, I mean, she had some. With Samuel Jackson.
There was some funny stuff, but it wasn't as funny as, like, the Ant-Man movies are.
No, well, I mean, no, it's not. I don't think the writing was as good as like, Ant-Man, or maybe the first Ant-Man, I think, was. Because it was so different, and Paul Rudd is awesome. So, but, I, like I said, it's kind of more of a Doctor Strange, I think. You know what I mean? Like, not not the best. Certainly not.
That is my I can't put it there because I think that's like one of the worst Marvel movies.
All right,
like that's really low. This ranks way higher for me than that.
All right,
to this movie's credit, it ranks higher than me for that. But I wish I had a more of a connection to Captain Marvel. I still kind of just don't care about.
Nah, I get it. You know, I mean, she's not like Iron Man, Captain America.
But there's plenty of people that don't care about Black Panther. Plenty of people that don't care about Ant-Man or whatever before the movie came out. You know,
I never cared about the Guardians of the Galaxy before that movie came out.
Yeah,
and honestly, I never cared about. I didn't really care that much about Black Panther. Sorry.
Yeah, no.
Which is interesting because you know what I mean? This is what most of the world thinks when they see this movie. You know what I mean? If you don't have a connection to it, think about someone who's never read a comic in their life.
Yeah, right.
They have no connection.
And except for that, they've maybe seen 19 or 20 movies before this one.
Well, now that, yeah, they might have. And I will say, like, the theater that I was in, they were reacting appropriately and at all the right parts, you know what I mean? So like people get into these fun action movies, you know? it's that's why it's fun to see it in a theater and people go, "Oh, I'll just wait for DVD or whatever," you know, or DVD, nobody waits for DVD anymore, but you know, I'll just wait for it to be streaming or whatever. That's all well and good, but I love to see it in a theater and people react and laugh and whatever. And
yeah, me too. I like to see stuff in the theater. Like there was a few movies that came out last year that I didn't see in the theater. I kind of regret, like the First Man movie, and but earlier this week too, I went to see Lego Movie.
Oh yeah, we haven't seen that yet.
Yeah, it was good. It's real good. You know, other things I really liked about Captain Marvel was the de-aged Samuel Jackson. I feel like the Agent Coulson, yeah, he was de-aged, but he wasn't really in it that much.
I don't know. There was at least one shot of Agent Coulson where I was like, oh, he doesn't. He looks de-aged. Like, it looks CG. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but Samuel Jackson was like.
No, he looked great. I don't know what it was. Looked
great.
Yeah, he looked exactly the same. And it's almost like they make him look older in the other movies.
Yeah, he had the most screen time of any of the movies. It's like he's basically the co-star in this movie.
Yeah, no, they are. Yeah, it is. Brie Larson and Samuel Jackson are like co-stars, definitely. And so they have great banter. Apparently, they're buddies, you know, in real life as well. So
they did some other movie together or something.
They did Kong together before this, and apparently she's directing a movie that's coming out soon, straight to Netflix. Not that that's a bad thing anymore. You know, I don't mean that straight to Netflix. It's just, but it's not theatrical release. But he's in that.
Straight to Netflix doesn't mean the same as straight to DVD.
Right, right. I shouldn't have phrased it that way. But it will be on streaming on Netflix in April. He's in that. And yeah, so I don't know. It's cool. They have good chemistry. And we have to talk about the cat, obviously, a little bit.
Yeah, there's this is something I don't like about the cat. But you tell me about the cat.
Well, you know, the cat. The cat is in the comics. Captain Marvel has a cat named Chewie. I didn't even want to get into the implications of why they wouldn't call it Chewie unless they think.
Oh, they just came out with it. They said that Star Wars is too important. And we didn't want people to like get like confused. We just changed the name because, like, yeah, obviously Star Wars like would exist in Captain Marvel's time, but they just didn't. It's not like they're protecting the copyright. They were just like, it's just easy enough for us to change the cat's name. Like,
yeah, I guess you don't even need to open the can of worms.
Yeah, why bother having the discussion about it? Like, they're just like, we don't want that to distract from the rest of the movie.
Sure. But it's the same thing. It's not a cat. It's a Flerken.
So it's like that in the comics, too.
It's the exact same thing. Flerken. In the comics, it is a Flerken. And you actually didn't know that until Rocket Raccoon saw it. He's like, get that thing out of here. This is in the comics. And they were like, what? It's just a cat. He's like, that ain't no cat.
Well, I thought that was kind of like a little bit just exactly like the Rocket origin story. Like, get that raccoon out of here or whatever. I'm not a raccoon.
Yeah.
Like, all right.
But it is true. I mean, no, it happened almost exactly the same way in the comics as it did in the movie. So that was, I kind of knew, I was like, well, that's not a cat. But it's fun. Whatever. I mean, people like to see that stuff. It's fun. It's just a
Here's
fun.
What I don't like. Do you want to hear what I don't like?
Yeah, give it to me.
Certain things, like, as much as I like Solo, certain things just don't need to be explained. They're cooler if they're not explained. The Kessel Run doesn't need to be explained. Kessel Run doesn't need to be shown. The Kessel Run doesn't need to be however they did it in Solo, which wasn't a bad way to do it. There's probably 100 ways you could write that story. It was an okay way to do it. That's fine. But I don't like that now I know how MCU Nick Fury lost his eye. I don't like
I thought that was... I didn't like that bit either, to be perfectly honest with you. Because it doesn't... Yeah, you don't need to know. Just, he had been in a lot of...
It's better if you think of it...
And, yeah.
It's better if you don't know.
I agree.
It's like a short skirt, you know? It's like, leave a little something for the mystery. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want every little thing.
A short skirt and a long jacket?
Is that what I don't want did? Every little thing explained, and I'm sorry. And that is so, like you say it sometimes, like you're just like, I know I'm being like such a pedantic nerd about this. And I know that I am. I'm self-consciously reflective saying this, but I don't like that. And I'm sorry.
Oh, no, you know what? No, I totally, it didn't bother me that much. But when it happened, I was like, ugh. You know what I mean? It was kind of, it's more of like an eye roll.
Well, the Kessel Run didn't bother me that much either.
Right. And it shouldn't have bothered me, but that, I just didn't, I thought that movie was pretty flat all the way through. So.
But that wasn't your criticism of the movie. Was that?
No, I just thought the same thing you did. And I think it here too. I don't know. It didn't really affect how much I'd like or didn't like the movie because that was kind of near the end and it was just a silly thing that.
Yeah. But now it's a permanent
to me, it's
silly.
Yeah, it's like, you know, it seems lame. You know, like I wanted to be in a bit. He even said in Civil War, the last time I trusted someone, it cost me my eye or something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he did.
So I don't know. That's just him talking or whatever. It's just dumb dialogue. You shouldn't take it too seriously. But yeah, I agree with you. It makes him somehow less tough or something in a way that he lost his eye because I. Even though it's an alien cat, not a real cat, but like literally a cat scratched it up.
But if you think about here, this is what I think. Like if Taika Waititi was the director for this movie, would he have, or the writer or something, would he have done the same thing? You know, it's just like.
Maybe he would have for comic.
Anybody.
You know, purposes, because his movies are more comedic. But I don't know. Maybe you're right. Maybe he probably wouldn't have, or like with the Russo brothers. I don't know.
Yeah, because it seems like, in a way, as much as Kevin Feige is like the executive producer, like the creative teams, it's just like the comic books. Like they have a certain amount of autonomy and a certain amount of decisions that they can make. And that was the decision they made to like do this in Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
And maybe it was the writer, maybe it was Kevin Feige. I don't know who decided that, but it was like, oh, man. I kind of wish it was a mystery.
That's what I think, too. But like I said, it was more of an eye roll for me. Just like, oh, of course, like you have to do that.
One eye. But, one eye roll.
Oh, an eye singular roll. But whatever. I mean, it was. I know. They didn't have to.
I'm not taking
that.
Points off the movie for that. I'm taking points off of.
Like
sort of when fans are now the people making the Star Wars movies and the Marvel movies now, like I'm going to do this. I'm going to stick this in there.
Yeah. I get to tell the story of Nick Fury losing his eye.
Yeah. It's like, I'm not sure. This is totally random, but like, I'm not sure Taika Waititi would have done that, but I'm pretty sure Rian Johnson would have. done the exact same thing. You know what I mean? It's just like,
well, yeah, it's like we have young Nick Fury. Of course, we have to tell the story because that's kind of how a lot of movies do it now. It's like, yeah, oh well, young Nick Fury. We have to tell the story of how he lost his eye. You know, it's like, well, you don't. You just whatever. Like, have him have two eyes. It doesn't really matter.
And they did write it in a funny way, and they had Coulson bring out all the different eyes. I mean, and like, what was that thing that was like on his eye, like taped on it? It was like a metal, like mesh or something. I didn't even know what it was. It was
kind of weird little thing. Yeah, like
it looked like something he found like in a junk drawer and like just slapped it on his face.
Put some tape on it.
So in that way, you know, like it was handled well. Like
right.
It fit the movie. It was fine. It's just like, I wish they didn't do it. Just for me personally as a comic book guy.
I understand. I mean, you're right. We as comic book guys think like, well, it's better just keep that a secret. But yeah, as movie...
Some things as a mystery are good.
Right. Movie people who don't care about comics probably don't. They're just like, oh, cool.
Yeah, you know, finally. Somebody's like... End of story. Somebody's like having the same exact reaction as I am, but on the opposite end, they're like, oh, they finally closed that loop from Civil War when he said, that,
right.
You know?
Yeah.
Which is, it's a cool thing you can do with these movies too.
Right.
So that's like another thing. That's why it's like a good decision. That's why I'm not working at Marvel. It's like, yeah, you can reference something from, oh, 9 movies back or whatever.
Right. Was, however many years ago that was, 6 years ago or something. But yeah. At the same time, right, I mean, who even, whatever, it's not that big a deal either way. But I agree with you. I kind of was a little like, oh, well, whatever.
And I think probably by this time, he should have a, well, now he's a pile of ashes. But
right.
By this time, he should now have like an Iron Man like heads up display in that other eye, like kind of like RoboCop or not RoboCop, Deathstroke. He should have Deathstroke tech in that other eye and shouldn't have an eye patch on.
Yeah, he should. I think the eye patch is something that he likes. I don't know.
But he should have a little, like, heads-up display. He's like, do-do-do-do-do. Oh, yeah, that's sure. Matt Durson. Not a threat. Loves Captain Marvel.
So I want to talk for a second about the Tesseract and how this all fits
yeah,
in.
Yeah, that's cool. I was into that. That was
pretty interesting. So the Tesseract now is in Captain America, Avengers. Obviously, it's in Avengers Infinity War, and he gets crushed in 2 seconds. Like, but it's all. But it gives all these guys their power. Like, it gives Captain Marvel her powers. It gives, like, it opens up the whole. I mean, it's the big thing in Avengers. It's the big thing in Captain America. Like that, the Red Skull wants to get. Like, I mean, it's like the MacGuffin in all these movies. And I still love that.
Well, Thanos it always has been. For Jack Kirby fans, like the Cosmic Cube, that's the fucking thing.
That's great.
Before there was all these gems. You know, there was just the Cosmic Cube. That's the ultimate fucking power of the universe. Right.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I'm glad that they worked that in. I mean, that really has been around, and they kind of did. You talk about closing the loop. I mean, the idea is. It was in the Captain America was in the 40s, and then it was like, and then apparently it was discovered, you know, or unearthed by Marvel in like the 90s or late 80s. I guess they mentioned that it was like the late 80s when she started working on this tech. And then like, and now,
so where
and then,
did she find it in the, I forget where it lands in Captain America. Is it like in the ice with him or something?
I don't remember. I guess not, because she must have got it out somehow. She must have got it somewhere. Yeah. I'll have to watch Captain America again.
Imagine if she was like, bores a hole through the ice and like sees like Cap frozen in ice. Like,
yeah, goes,
like
oh, Han Solo. No, it's just a,
and
just
she's a dude. Just like, oh, it just grabs the Tesseract and leaves.
Yeah.
See ya.
Nice of her. Oh, sorry. Don't want to disturb your slumber.
You might want to go check down there in 10 years.
Right. So then, and then like,
I thought I saw
like,
something down there, you know, when you go to the basement.
Is it like a dude?
My winter jackets down there? I don't know. I was just down there getting something else. I thought I saw some jackets or something go down there.
Yeah. I don't know. So you go look. Right, that's always.
Yeah, why don't you go look?
I didn't see it. Where am I?
That's what you always say. That's what you always say.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. Why don't you go look?
You go. Yeah, I was down there looking for my thing. What? And so anyway, yeah. And then they dig it out. She has it in the 90s. Nick Fury says, "You better keep that hidden." Obviously, the cat pukes it up, which was very predictable but funny scene anyway, because they really did a good job making that cat. I mean, like the CGI, but like that's exactly how a cat looks when it's about to cough up a hairball.
Oh, you know? Yeah, I know.
It does that like?
There was like actually like. Oh, like when they first saw Goose on the screen. Oh, yeah. Everyone in the theater was like, a cat! Like
everybody loves a kitty. But, yeah, so then obviously it is rediscovered in the, whatever, 2012 or whatever that was when Loki used it to open up the portal so that all the Chitauri could come out in the first Avengers.
Yep.
And then it goes back to Asgard for a while. Loki takes it again, gives it to Thanos. Thanos crushes it, gets the stone. Wow. I mean, that's a pretty – you can – it's like the whole origin of the Tesseract through like five movies.
Right.
It's pretty neat actually. So there we go. But yeah, everybody's talking now. Of course, it's clickbait, but there's a lot of talk on the internet about the pager, what happens – what we're going to see in...
Why didn't they use it before? That's the thing where I've been
saying. A big thing. Why? And, well, Kevin Feige was asked that question apparently at South by Southwest, and he said, how do we know he didn't? Right? You know? How do we know he didn't do?
Right.
There's 20 years in between, you know, like or over 20 years, I guess.
This was also a Superman thing I thought was cool, like even if it's like subconscious, you know, in the writing or something, but like, you know, like there's a time even just in the movies, but he does this obviously in the comics a lot, but like there's a time between the end of like Superman movies and then before the time that Brenda Routh like becomes in Superman Returns, like he goes out into space to fucking figure shit out about Krypton or whatever and then comes back. So, like, she does the same thing. You know, like, she's trying to go out there to stop the Kree Skrull War or whatever the fuck war. And and she's out there doing whatever. So we don't know what she's been doing this whole time.
Yeah, I actually, I don't know. In my mind, I had this feeling that there's going to be another Captain Marvel movie that still takes place between, like, sometime in the past. Not, like, you know what I mean? Like, not current time, like...
Right.
I don't know this. This is a Durson theory, like fan theory. You know, like, yeah. I don't know.
No, no. That's why we're here. That's why we're here.
Right. I'm just speculating here. I'm just spitballing. But, like, I think it would be cool if they did one that took place in, like, 2005 or something like that.
Yeah, but it would just all be in space. It wouldn't even really matter because, like,
probably. Be,
like, the Reavers or you know, she can interact with all sorts of space people and the
original
Guardians or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, there's plenty of meat on the bone there.
And if you're out in space, it doesn't even like time kind of is irrelevant because you don't have like a lot of cultural stuff. You know, like we're joking around about her. She has her own list of what she missed, like Captain America did.
Yeah,
between the 90s and now.
I mean, I suppose they could make it happen on Earth and just kind of like keep it low key, like this one was. Like they didn't. There was no
keep
global.
Keep it low key, right?
Yeah, keep it low key. I mean, there was no global like, you know, like catastrophe that would be like, oh, there was a superhero over there, you know. But I don't know.
Yeah, how do you know she hasn't come back to visit?
Right, we don't know. So, like, there was a lot of people saying, why did he wait so long to page? Maybe he did page her. And we just didn't know she was here. Or maybe she didn't come. Because, like, how long does that thing take to get out there?
Just thought of this right now. Remember the daughter, the friend there?
Yes.
The daughter of the friend, you know, they have...
Monica Rambeau.
You know, what if... what if she comes back and like she somehow becomes like Ms. Marvel?
Well, do you know who that is? Do you know who that character is?
Kamala Khan is.
No, oh, this is not Kamala Khan. So when I first started reading Avengers,
you catch me up then. So
here you go, fantasy. Comic book historian. All right, history buff. I'll give you the 411 on this character. So like back in the 80s, early mid 80s ish, somewhere around 84, 85, I guess. I started reading Avengers. There was a woman, a African American Captain Marvel, whose name was Monica Rambeau. Who is that?
Oh, I remember that Captain Marvel. I feel like that was around the time of like New Universe.
Yeah, and yeah, they
around the same time, but it wasn't part of the New Universe. It was
no. She was an Avenger. She was in the regular 616.
And now she had her own book.
Probably everybody had their own book back then. But she was in the Avengers for a long time, and now she's I don't know if she's in Ultimates or something, or she's in one of those lame books. But like, she's still around, but she doesn't go by Captain Marvel anymore. She goes by like Lightning Bolt Lady or some stupid name. But yeah, she is a character in the Marvel Universe, and that's cool. I'm glad they sort of made that thing. Like,
I do
they
remember
could bring her back.
I do remember her. She had a cool costume. I always liked it.
Oh no, she did. She did have a cool costume, yeah. And she had these like light powers, and she could like travel at the speed of light and stuff. Like, she was very But so that's why Nick Fury there's a joke at the end of the movie where he says, "When you learn how to glow," or something like that. There's like a little reference, there's a little wink wink nod nod to Captain Marvel.
Now, are we talking about her best friend or the daughter?
Talking about the daughter.
Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Very well.
The daughter of the best friend. Yeah. So that was Captain Marvel.
Very cool.
A Captain Marvel. One of the several.
And where is Stanley? He was on the train or something. I think I literally was like about to fall asleep, and then the train fight came on. And I was like, whoa, yeah.
Well, there was a nice... You know, the Marvel
that thing was great.
That was all of Stan's cameos. That was really nice.
And can I just tell you, can I complain about something?
Oh, God.
For a second? I went to a 9:30 showing. The fucking movies didn't start until 10. It was a half hour of previews and bullshit.
Yeah,
a half an hour.
I know.
It's a two-hour movie. Like, had I been there for the 8:30 showing... And I get home at like 11, that's fine. But I just was there like it was so late. I was so tired.
I know. We're old. It sucks.
But why was there a half hour of fucking trailers?
I don't know. And you didn't even see Shazam in that half an hour.
I know.
That's hilarious. So yeah, the Stan cameo. I want to talk about that for you. I can't believe you didn't see it.
I literally think I nodded off. For a second,
it's another clickbait thing. So yes, Stan is on the train, and it's funny. So he looks up and she smiles at him, and it's a nice little like moment of like, oh, Stan.
Somebody uploaded it to YouTube, like a cam version, and I saw it when I came home. But that's
well, he's reading the Mallrats script.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, which is kind of funny because Stan Lee as Stan Lee himself is in the. Mallrats, obviously.
Right.
And he says, the creator of the Hulk and Spider-Man or whatever. I don't know. So, like, people are getting all meta about it. Like if they're all in the same universe, and if Stan Lee is reading the Mallrats script, like, did he create Spider-Man? Like, I don't know. It's stupid. You know, fucking.
And also, he's a watcher.
So right. That's another. But did he create Spider-Man, like comic books about Spider-Man because he knows that there is a Spider-Man or whatever? I don't know. It's the stupidest thing. These people are so stupid. But it was a funny little, it's just a funny little nod. But now we know that he's filmed a couple other, there's more cameos coming. Like, it's not,
right?
Like, this isn't his last one. But it was a nice thing because she actually, like, smiled at him. Because
the Marvel Studios thing was nice, too.
Yeah, no, that was great. Because first I'm like, oh, here they are again with this thing. I'm like, oh, wait, these are different. these are all Stan. So that was nice. And yeah, I mean, it's, I don't know. That was, I thought the train seat, I was thinking of you when I was watching that train sequence.
It was a good, solid train fight. They showed it from the air, which is something I like. And she's hanging off the side of the train.
Yeah.
Busts a hole through the train. And yeah. When she's punching the old lady, I mean, that's not really, I don't consider that a train fight.
But it wasn't an old lady.
I know it was a Skrull.
Yeah.
But yeah, a good solid train fight.
Yeah, no, it was good stuff. I mean, the action, like I said, I thought the action was really good, actually, because it wasn't overly, like, just, this is just CGI shit, you know what I mean, like, and whatever. Yeah, or,
but
like,
I liked all the CGI shit.
No, everything looked great. All
the space stuff, was cool.
Yeah, all the fighting, I thought, looked really good, and it was fun, and it wasn't overly, like, slow-mo, you know, a lot of action movies,
yeah.
Wonder Woman, do it like that, where, like, oh, I'm going to, you know, jump up in slow motion and punch you. It was just like, right. It was all really well done. I just thought, like, the middle got a little slow, like I said, but the action parts are great. They kept it going. I give it like 4 stars, I suppose.
I don't give it an A plus. I give it an A.
Sure. I'll give it an A. That's good. And I mean, I would, you know, it's not like if I'm surfing the channels and it's on TV, I'm going to stop and watch it.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not like I'm like, oh, God. Jesus.
I wonder if there's like a lot of fans expecting it to have the same sort of, and maybe it does have the same sort of cultural impact that, let's say, Black Panther did for people of color, like for women. But the other thing is, like, it was so hyped to be that.
I know. They even released it exactly on International Women's Day. It's right. Almost like they were trying too hard with this one. I don't know if it will have the same cultural impact, but I think, I mean, it's hard to duplicate that Black Panther, like, the phenomenon that was.
Right.
But
I was watching on the Marvel or Captain Marvel, like, Instagram. She was, she kind of had like this Adidas, like an Adidas jumpsuit, but it was all Captain Marvel style. And she was like at like a premiere giving out popcorn and soda to people.
Oh, really? She got this cool, she got a lot of cool stuff. She got like Levi's made jeans with like the Captain Marvel insignia right on the back pocket.
Yeah, whatever. There's shoes too. Yeah. I think somebody made shoes.
Oh, yeah. I'm so mad. They didn't make them in like my size. They didn't even make them in my size. In fact, I'm going to say this right now, and I'm not complaining. I mean, I'm not complaining, but I went looking for some merch, you know, like Captain Marvel merch, and a lot of it is sort of geared towards women and young girls. They don't sell a lot of men's, you know, like large t-shirts, you know,
right?
Which is fine. I mean, like, I'll let them have this one, but I just was like, I want to support this. I want to buy a shirt. I want to buy something.
And there's got to be like, something on graffiti tees or something.
Yeah, I know. But around. I mean, they were out there, but I wanted like sort of official, you know, Captain Marvel merchandise, not just like we just took a poster and put it on a shirt. You know what I mean? Like wanted something.
You got to be able to get the one that has like the, that looks like the uniform kind of, you
know. Right. I mean, I didn't go all over. I could go on Amazon and find, I'm sure I could find it, but yeah. I didn't, I just was surprised.
Just not targeted at you.
Yeah. And that's okay. You know what? We have enough stuff.
And just because something isn't targeted at you, you're not getting mad about it. You're just like,
no. I'm not getting mad about it at all.
That's the problem with all those other dickheads.
Yeah.
It's not targeted at me, so fuck them.
Yeah. There's all kinds of, it's kind of funny. People do seem to be realizing it. Now, there's like a meme that was like, a black person says, like, you know, like, my people get beaten and, you know, attacked. And like a Jewish person, like, my synagogue gets like shot up or whatever. A white guy says, the new Marvel hero is a girl. You know, it's this is really all you guys have to complain about?
I know.
Jesus Christ. So, I mean, it's in the long run, I mean, it's a fun movie. I hope I hope everybody likes it. I know.
I want to watch it. It's one of those things where I want to watch it again. You know, like,
yeah, I probably will definitely watch it again. And, I hope people enjoy it where it fits in. I mean, we'll see. Obviously, in not that far off, Endgame will be coming out, so we'll know soon enough,
right,
where she fits in. But and yeah, she seems powerful enough to take down Thanos. We'll have to wait and see. Who knows? But
yeah, maybe yeah, she is.
Who knows? Even who knows what's going on? Thanos seems like he's kind of just retired. So, you know, like,
yeah,
who even knows what's going to happen there? But yeah, I mean, whatever. I've been waiting like years for it. It came and I was not disappointed. So that's it. That's all I got.
Yeah, I wasn't disappointed either. It's a good movie. People should go watch it, you know. Go out and watch it. Learn about it. Captain Marvel. Be like me. Like, learn about it by seeing the movie, you know?
Right. Yeah, it's not bad to not know who this character is.
And the and the time jump is fun.
You know, it is, yeah.
Like, going back in time.
Yeah. It was a fun little thing they did. It doesn't, you know.
The next Wonder Woman movie is, like, set in the 80s, so that's right. Kind of cool.
Yeah.
And somehow Chris Pine is in it, even though he died in the last movie. So we'll see.
What is that, just flashback, or how does that work there?
Yeah. I don't know.
Let's. Do you have any comics just for a minute here? We'll do our quick little buzz round. Did you want to
buzz talk round about comics? I did. Tom King is back. I do want to talk about a comic you probably didn't. A couple comics you probably didn't get, but I think are worth talking about. And I have to say, we have to come up with a pew 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 sound effect for when you get fucked. Because I got fucked by picking up Miles Morales. Maybe we could have
like a toilet flushing or something.
Yeah.
The comics that sucked. Okay, what do you got?
No, this is how I get it's when you get fucked.
Okay.
I got fucked at the store by picking up another copy of Miles Morales Spider-Man #1, which I didn't realize was the third printing.
Don't they say it anywhere? Like on the cover?
Says it, but
the cover is
different.
We've all been there, man. I know.
Yeah. That's the flush down.
So how many copies of that do you have? Just two?
Well, no, just two, but I was like, yep, getting through the stack here. There's a Spider-Man. Wait, I've read this before.
I know. Isn't that the worst? You're like,
I bought the Rob Liefeld variant of Justice League #19, which has him drawing Wonder Woman, Superman, Batman, Martian Manhunter, Hawk Girl, and John Stewart, Green Lantern, in front of the Hall of Justice, and it's a good cover.
It's amazing. Rob Liefeld is having this like
And he's got a book coming out, Major X or X Major.
Right. It's like basically Deadpool in this new X-Men universe thing that they've got
going. Yeah, and like this is going to be like a Cable thing and whatever. I'm into it. I'm going to buy it. I'll
check out maybe the first issue. I don't know.
I have to talk about this.
Okay.
One of my favorite things about G.I. Joe was the yearbooks. They would have a silent issue, and they came out with they're not calling it yearbook #4, which technically would be in the run, but they're just calling it yearbook 2019.
All right.
And it's nothing really, it's not as like intensely filled with stuff like the old yearbooks were, where there would be like a silent story, and then there would be like maybe some like some of those like roster cards, you know.
Yeah. Battle
things, but what this did have a new Snake Eyes, Dawn Moreno, who can actually talk. But she has she's like a Latino girl, and she has the memories of Snake Eyes implanted in her. So she's a ninja. So she goes to meditate and hang out with Storm Shadow, and they get attacked by robots. Basically, this is a cool little story. And then Tommy Lee Edwards is writing another, he wrote the backup story where Duke is like kind of having these flashbacks and stuff, and then it just says he's having these flashbacks about about Serpentor, and the lettering is like really bad, and the art's like not that great. But it then says to be continued in G.I. Joe Infinite Cobra. So it's like hard to describe. It's a G.I. Joe Real American Hero comic, but not written by Larry Hama, which they don't do that often. They didn't do that since like Special Missions.
Right.
So so it's just kind of like, you know, it's awesome when they get a little something extra for
More G.I. Joe.
My favorite thing, you know.
Nothing wrong with that.
But go ahead. What did you read?
Did you get the new Darth Vader by any chance?
I did. It was okay. It was good.
I know. That's exactly what I thought. I like the old book,
but I don't. Nothing. This is like, I wonder if this whole book is going to be like. And
it looks like these are all kind of one shots.
I had to get the photo cover, which.
Oh, of course. No. Yeah. Oh, I did too. Of course.
Oh, you got that one too?
Yeah.
It's kind of like Tales of Darth Vader. It's like.
Right. It's just kind of what he does when he's not hunting rebels, it seems.
But it's not like the other Darth Vader books, which have been like sort of like following his adventures around. It's like somebody telling a story about Darth Vader.
I guess. Is that how all these issues are going to be? Or is that.
I don't know. I was like kind of inferring that that's what it was because that's what this one was. But
right. That's. I haven't done any research on this, so I'm just assuming.
Because this one says, issue two, just from the copy, the prospect of failure torments an Imperial officer because punishment means the only way, fate, the wrath of Darth Vader. So it's like the next one going to be just an Imperial officer.
Telling this story about how he and Darth Vader.
Which is fine. I mean, that's.
It's okay, only five issues is my thing. So.
Oh.
I'm okay with this.
So it's kind of like this Age of Republic thing, which I got Padme Amidala this week.
Oh, okay. I mean, it was fine. It wasn't great, but it wasn't. Some of these other Star Wars books have been just bad. Dennis Hopeless is good. You know what I mean? Like, I have no
idea. Yeah, he was good. So, it's such a big shift from the Gillen or the Soul Darth Vader book, though, because it is told from somebody else's perspective. It's just kind of like.
And it's kind of like off. It's not. It's not in storyline. There's no whatever. I mean,
right.
It's like a day in the life.
I like that he was riding a horse. Like I thought that was cool.
It was kind of cool. I mean, it was different. It's fine. I had nothing really. I mean, it's like I said. It's only five issues, so I can commit to that. So yeah, it was fine. What else?
Tom King's back on Batman.
Yeah. That's good. Because those Flash issues didn't do it for me. Oof.
Yeah.
New Uncanny X-Men. So, yeah. Cyclops and Wolverine have got their team together here. The only X-Men that we assume are still alive. And Cyclops has put together this sort of hit list. So what the deal is, there's an anti-mutant vaccine, which we've kind of seen, before. So everyone is, they want to pass a law that says everyone is required to take this, so there will be no more mutants being born. So between all the X-Men being like presumed dead and no more mutants being born, Cyclops is like, this is kind of like the end of our, this is the end of an era here, and I want the X-Men to go out with a bang, and he's got this hit list of all their villains and anybody who, and he's like, we're just going to go down the list and like take out all these guys. Not like murder them, but
right.
We're going to leave a lasting legacy. So they go after that dark beast, which is like a beast from the future who is like a bad guy. And, shit happens, but I think it's kind of interesting. It's a different take on the X-Men. But we using the same, like they literally wear like the 90s costumes because he's like they don't have anything left. He's like, well, the mansion blew up, but I went underneath into the tunnels underneath and I found this, some of our old costumes. So like they're wearing like the Jim Lee era costumes. It's kind of
fun. Like it when they do that when it's just like, oh, I'm gonna bring those back.
Yeah. So I'm okay with that. I forget what else I got. I got, I don't know why, Hot Shots number one, which is like the Domino spinoff. They ended Domino. Oh, right. they took those three characters, added a couple more characters, and now they threw Black Widow in there, and it's this group of women going after some alien tech, celestial tech that crash landed on Earth. I think I'll be kicking this. I shouldn't say it because it's a book all about women, but I'll be kicking this skank to the curb. It was nothing really bad with it, I suppose, but it just wasn't enough for me to spend money on it every month. Right. So there you have it. That's our speed round of books for the week.
And I was going to just mention that Nicholas Holt, who plays Beast, about Beast, he has a new movie coming out where he plays J.R.R. Tolkien.
Really?
It's like the story of Tolkien. So that looks pretty...
I'm actually going to say, cool. Speaking of Beast, that new X-Men Dark Phoenix trailer looks pretty good.
It does look pretty good.
I don't know.
Who knows what's going to happen? I feel good about that, but I don't feel that great about the New Mutants. But
I don't feel good about New Mutants at all either. And who knows? A trailer, could mean anything. But it did look pretty
cool. I was thinking of you because, Jennifer Lawrence is in it for, a second. And then I, watched it again. I was like, did they even bother getting Jennifer Lawrence to be Mystique in this?
And she is in it, but there's a scene where they're all standing around a grave.
I don't think she's going to be...
She's not in that scene.
Right.
But I don't know. Do you want to link... If you link this to the first X-Men movie, maybe you don't. I don't know. But, do you... Is she... Is this a different timeline? You know what I mean? The timelines and whatever and blah, blah, blah. So,
well, the timelines are reset from Days of Future Past.
Right. So
they can do whatever.
She's not going to grow up and become Rebecca Romijn. Right. So they can kill her off and it doesn't matter. Because they reset everything. Who cares?
So, who cares?
We're nerds.
Who cares?
I just want them to make a movie that doesn't suck. I don't care what they do.
Yeah, because Apocalypse was sucks.
Apocalypse, was not good. So yeah.
And
I hope this one's better.
And coming after Days of Future Past was such a fucking come down. It was
it was real. God, it sucked.
Fuck you.
So stupid. It was terrible. They did everything wrong almost.
It's hard to find a movie real quick.
They get everything wrong.
Yeah, but luckily we've had since then we've had two Deadpool movies which are good, and
Days of Future Past and First Class I thought was First Class was good too. So
absolutely, that was good.
It's if you look at all the X-Men movies, most of them are pretty good.
There's some they're clunkers, they're really clunkers.
That's exactly right. When they're bad, they're bad. But
three and Apocalypse had to go down.
Three was bad. Oh yeah.
There's scenes that I like, and I think it's kind of funny to watch it occasionally. It's just a thing.
Yeah, it's
alright. That's almost my equivalent of a bad movie night. I'll watch that and I won't hate it. I'm just this is pretty bad. Juggernaut bitch and everything, Juggernaut is so stupid in that.
I know.
Glad that they brought back Juggernaut for Deadpool 2.
Yeah, I know. Just to make it and Deadpool 2 is so excited. But Deadpool 2. Deadpool's my God!
Yes! Yeah. So excited to meet him. So excited. And then it's funny because he drops all these real issue numbers.
Oh my God, Thor 411 or whatever. he names real issues that he
I made. Wonder if it, I think, do you remember the McFarlane Liefeld? They had X-Force and Spider-Man and they did them, they drew all the comics landscape style.
I do remember that, yeah.
There was two issues. Liefeld did one and McFarlane did one. Those are fun. Those stars with Juggernaut too.
I don't know, actually. It's a good maybe. I do remember those issues. I remember the X-Force one specifically. I don't know why. Just that one really stuck out with me, but yeah. Okay. Good stuff.
Go. Major Very X, well. X Major. And Batman was cool. It had the question in it and interviewing Catwoman. more to the mystery of their love life or whatever. Catwoman, and I still think he's back, like caught in a dream nightmare or something still. Maybe. Who knows?
Very interesting.
He's in a dream nightmare in Detective Comics too. Oh. So, but he just got out of it. So who knows? We'll see. Detective Comics 1000 is coming out soon.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. One of those big ones.
Batman 80 years, too. That's also the big thing.
Damn.
So, very well. So we went short like we always do. That's what we're going to do.
Hey, we had a big movie to talk about.
Yeah, big movie. So, you've been looking forward to it. I'm glad you liked it and you weren't disappointed.
I'm glad you saw it.
I saw it for you. Well, I mean, I saw it for me, but I knew that you were excited and I knew you wanted to talk about it, so I crammed it in here.
Well, I appreciate that a lot. That's really nice of you.
And I'm glad I did. It was a good movie.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's a Marvel movie.
What do you want?
It's a Marvel movie. So, yeah, next up is Endgame. So, crazy.
There we go. And Shazam. And Spider-Man.
When so do those come out?
A couple of good superhero movies coming up.
Right. All right. Yeah, Dark Phoenix, I think, is June, so that's not too far off either. Right? Yeah, after getting pushed back like 3 times.
Yeah. We're good. All right. Tightened it up.
Yeah, I hope they did. All right. Very well. Thanks so much, Clay, for...
Thanks to you.
The chat. I won't see you next week. Happy St. Patrick's Day. I know that's a busy time for you.
So, yeah, you too. And we may have another ep. I don't know if you're going to record one. You're obviously more than welcome to. But we have another ep, a special edition coming out with the director of The Empire Strips Back, which is a show that's happening at the Orpheum in April. So stay tuned for that.
Yeah, keep your eyes peeled. And, all right. We'll talk to you chumps later.
Later. That's the flush down.